Deva Sudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Jaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Tato Jayamudiraya. Nascha Prashu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavate Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naisiki. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 2, The Lord in the Heart, Text 23. Yogeshwaranam Gati Mahurantar.
Yogeshwaranam Gati Mahurantar.
Bahi Sri Lokya Bhavanantaratmanam.
Bahi Sri Lokya Bhavanantaratmanam.
Na karma vistam gatim apnuvanti.
Na karma vistam gatim apnuvanti.
Vidya tapo yoga samadhi bhajam.
Vidya tapo yoga samadhi bhajam.
Translation: the transcendentalists are concerned with the spiritual body. As such, by the strength of their devotional service, austerities, mystic power and transcendental knowledge, their movements are unrestricted within and beyond the material worlds. The fruity workers or the gross materialists can never move in such an unrestricted manner. So, in this particular verse, Srila Prabhupada talks about how one can escape the material world. And in fact, material scientists are trying to do that by using spaceships and so on. But actually, they really can't get out of this material universe. They are stuck. But even though it is difficult, still the yogis can try using their Asanga Yoga process. And they try to get out of this material. But it's a very difficult process, and they require the assistance of the demigods. Otherwise, they cannot get out of this material world. Now, pure yogis are what in the translation Srila Prabhupada says, strength of their devotional service. So these pure yogis are, they also do Asanga Yogi, but they are devotees. They worship Krishna. But they are not restricted like the materialistic yogis. And they gradually move from one planetary system to another planetary system until finally they reach Satyaloka, and then from there they will go to the spiritual world. Okay? So the speed by which they move, Srila Prabhupada says, cannot be attained by ordinary materialists. Okay? Text 24. Vaishvanaram yati vihaya sagata.
Vaishvanaram yati vihaya sagata.
Susumnaya brahma patena sochisa.
Susumnaya brahma patena sochisa.
Viduta kalkota hare udastar.
Viduta kalkota hare udastar.
Prayati chakram nirpasaishumaram.
Prayati chakram nirpasaishumaram.
O king, when such a mystic passes over the Milky Way, by the illuminating Susumna to reach the highest planet, Brahmaloka, he goes first to Vaishvanara, the planet of the deity of fire, wherein he becomes completely cleansed of all contaminations, and thereafter he still goes higher to the circle of Shishumara to relate with Lord Hari, the personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada says, the pole star of the universe and the circle thereof is called Shishumara circle. Okay? And there is where the Shirodakashaya Vishnu is situated. Now, the yogi, the mystic, who passes through different layers, he's actually changing his body also. From this earthly planet, as he progresses, his body goes through different subtle changes, from gross to subtle. Otherwise, you cannot go to these places, okay? The body changes. So that's why he gives up each element as he moves higher and higher, okay? Yeah, normal materialists can't do it. But through the process of yoga, you can actually get rid of these elemental coverings, the gross covering, the subtle coverings, and so. Text 25. Tat Vishwanabhim tu ativartya Vishnu.
Tat Vishwanabhim ativartya Vishnu.
Aniyasha virajinatmanaika.
Aniyasha virajinatmanaika.
Namaskritam Brahma Vidam Upaiti.
Namaskritam Brahma Vidam Upaiti.
Kalpa Yusoya Vibhudaramante.
Kalpa Yusoya Vibhudaramante.
This Shushumara is the pivot for the turning of the complete universe. And it is called the navel of Vishnu, Garbhadakashayi Vishnu. The yogi alone goes beyond the circle of Shushumara and attains the planet Maharaloka, where purified saints like Bhrigu enjoy a duration of life of 4,300,000,000 solar years. This planet, 4,300,000,000 solar years. This planet is worshipable even for the saints who are transcendentally situated. So it's very exalted. Text 26. Ato anantasya mukanalena.
Ato anantasya mukanalena.
Dandayamanam sanireksha vishvam.
Dandayamanam sanireksha vishvam.
Niryati siddheshvara yushta dishnyam.
Niryati siddheshvara yushta dishnyam.
Yadvai prarathyam taru paramestyam.
Yadvai prarathyam taru paramestyam.
At the time of the final devastation of the complete universe, the end of the duration of Brahma's life, a flame of fire emanates from the mouth of Ananta, from the bottom of the universe. He is in the Patala Loka. The yogi sees all the planets of the universe burning to ashes, and thus he leaves for Satya Loka by airplanes used by the great purified souls. The duration of life in Satya Loka is calculated to be that many years. Okay. It's, I think, 15,480,000,000,000 years. Okay. It is indicated herein that the residents of Mahaloka, where the purified living entities are demigods, possesses a duration of life calculated to be 4,300,000,000 solar years. Solar years, huh? And they have airships. They can travel. Hey, Haribo. So they have airships, and they can travel wherever they want. So, Srila Prabhupada writes, in other words, Srimad Bhagavatam gives us many clues about other planets far, far away from us, which modern planes and spacecraft cannot reach, even by imaginary speeds. So they think of all this, right? They imagine. So Prabhupada is saying they cannot do this. These are like superhuman ways to reach, and they can only be attained by subtle science, not the science that we know. And a few lines down, Srila Prabhupada writes, in the creation of the Lord there are many wonderful things we can see with our own eyes every day and night, but we are unable to reach them equipped by modern materialistic science. We should not, therefore, depend on the fragmentary authority of materialistic science for knowing things beyond the range of scientific purview. For a common man, both modern science and Vedic wisdom are simply to be accepted because none of the statements either of modern science or of Vedic literature can be verified by him. So it's a fact. We don't really know what they're saying. We don't understand how they calculate and so on. the alternative for a common man is to believe either of them or both of them. That's interesting how Prabhupada is explaining. The Vedic way of understanding, however, so this is where the key difference is, however, is more authentic. Why? Because it has been accepted by the acharyas, who are not only faithful and learned men, but are also liberated souls without any of the flaws of conditioned souls. So there's conditioning with all of us, and it is the four defects. So Prabhupada's point is they are liberated people and they won't want to cheat us. Okay? So therefore we accept their statements and we should accept. And then his other point is the modern scientists, however, are conditioned souls liable to so many errors and mistakes. Therefore, the safe side is to accept the authentic version of Vedic literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam, which is accepted unanimously by the great acharya. So this is tantamount to our faith, you know, how strong our faith is in this process, in the acharyas and so on. If you don't have strong faith, then it's no point even talking about who's right and wrong, you know. So it's very important whether we believe in the statements thus far in the scriptures. Because at a certain level, you're looking at subtle things, and you cannot even understand with even the our gross material senses. So therefore, our only choice is to accept the statements of such personalities like Sukadeva Goswami. He's saying this, you don't see Maharaj Parikshit saying, I don't believe you, you know, these numbers are meaningless. You don't see that. Because there's faith in that, and they accept that, and they move on with that. And Srila Prabhupada's point is, one personality is defective, the other personality is not defective. So pick the choice. So therefore he says, you either believe either of them or both of them. So in some circumstances, material science and Vedic science, they can agree. In some instances, they won't agree because of the way we view the same thing, you know, from different perspectives. Okay? Text 27.
नायत्र शोको न जरा न मृत्युर् नायत्र शोको न जरा न मृत्युर् नर्ति न चोद्वेगरिते कुतश्चित् नर्तिर् न चोद्वेगरिते कुतश्चित् यच्चित्ततोदा कृपयानिदं विदां यच्चित्ततोदा कृपयानिदं विदां दुरंत दुखा प्रभवानु दर्शनार् दुरंत दुखा प्रभवानु दर्शनार्
In the planet of Satyaloka, there is neither bereavement, nor old age, nor death. There is no pain of any kind, and therefore there are no anxieties, save that sometimes due to consciousness, there's a feeling of compassion for those unaware of the process of devotion service were subjected to unsurpassable miseries in the material world. So they are of different qualities and nature, these personalities. First of all, their life is very long. And they are always performing devotional service, meditating on the Lord. And one of the qualities in that planet is they have no anxiety of anything. They have no old age, no death. And so, but there's only one thing. They are anxious for other living entities who are suffering. So that means at such level, these personalities are very compassionate. So sometimes these personalities will come down out of compassion to help us. So they have that thing. Of course, if they have been told by Krishna, they also will come to help.
Satyaloka is within the...
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Then how come there is no death?
There is no death. Because these people are all liberated. They wait until the end of the universal devastation. At that time, they will go to... they go straight back to Vaikuntha planets. So they are just waiting for that moment.
So is there a possibility...
No, it's not more. It's high. It's only 15 trillion. Brahma's is 311 trillion.
So, I got confused here. Text 26, saying that after the final devastation of the complete universe, then they go. The yogi sees that all the planets of the universe burning to ashes, and thus he lives for Satyaloka. So, Satyaloka is part of the universe?
It is part of the universe. special. It's special. Some instances you will read, they will go all at the same time, but some instances they wait. Okay. Until their time is ready to go, and then they'll go.
So in the material world, when we leave the body, that is considered to be the death, when we leave the grass body. So when they are in the Satyaloka, they might be having some subtle body, right? Which they have to leave to go to the spiritual.
Yeah, so you will find that they will give up the final ego. And then they will go with their spiritual body. Yeah, they are almost spiritual at that stage.
Satyaloka is a top one.
Yeah.
So subtle body can be understood with just subtle elements of ego and intelligence, that's it.
No, even they are more finer than that. Like up to the point of ego. Okay. Then the intelligence are almost purified, almost. Yeah. So it gets more finer and finer and finer. Now we only understand this level, but as we go out of the universe, everything gets more spiritualized. Okay? So when the creation is started, everything gets more materialized. So down here where we function, it's very gross. So as it go outward, it gets very subtle, like that. Anyway, Prabhupada writes towards the end of the first paragraph, not end, like a couple of lines. It is said that one should become a brahmana before one can understand the Vedic statements. So remember I was saying you need faith. So to have strong faith, first of all, we need to become brahmanas. Then we can understand such statements. Or we accept such statements. And this stricture is as important as a stricture that no one shall become a lawyer who has not qualified himself as a graduate. Such a stricture is not an impediment in the path of progress for anyone and everyone, but it is necessary for an unqualified understanding of a particular science. So, Baba is saying this is also a science. It's a transcendental science. Vedic knowledge is misinterpreted by those who are not qualified brahmanas. A qualified brahmana is one who has undergone strict training under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. So, for us to become qualified transcendental scientists, we have to go through this purification process. Then we can actually accept certain things and move on. Otherwise, if we dally too much in the material science, then we cannot graduate into the spiritual science as easily as what Prabhupada is saying. Then you cannot become qualified brahmana. The Vedic wisdom guides us to an understanding our relation with the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna and to acting accordingly in order to achieve the desired result of returning home back to Godhead. So therefore, when you practice it under the guidance, you will get this desire to go back to Godhead. That means if you don't get the desire, then the practice is faulty. Yeah. But materialistic men do not understand this. They want to make a plan to become happy in a place where there's no happiness. Dukhalem ashashvatam. Okay? This universe is certainly not a place for us to be living. Yeah. Alright. So therefore, if you are intelligent, Srila Prabhupada later on says, you make a plan to go back to Godhead. And then what are the things you're going to do to go back to Godhead? What are the things you'll do? First of all, you will chanting, follow four regular principles, and then you start associating and doing service. You have to do that. Everything is connected and will raise your intelligence and consciousness. It's imperative. We need to do that to go back to God. So that's an intelligent person. He's thinking about this. He doesn't want to stay and suffer, so he's moving forward. You know. Yeah. He has his duty, taking care of family, children, everything. But his main focus is, I will take care, but then I'm taking care so that they also can advance in spiritual life. So that consciousness must be there, and then you can do your service properly, both ways, wife and husband in a family like that, yeah. Like, you know, when we cook, we know we have to offer to Krishna, you know. So it's like that. We're always trying to relate everything back to Krishna. So then we are Krishna consciousness. All right. Louder.
There's a related verse by
Narada Muni too.
Vyasadeva.
Oh.
Louder. These persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for that purposeful end which is not attainable even by wandering from the topmost planet Brahmaloka down to the lowest planet Patala. As far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in course of time, just as in course of time we obtain miseries, even though we do not share them.
So Narada Muni is also saying that, and he said that in the first canto to Vyasadeva. Same thing, the intelligent person will endeavor to get to go back to Godhead. Because in the material world you're going to get good and bad. Whether you work for it or not, you will get it, you know. We never ask for bad things to come, right? But it comes and then we complain, but when good things come we keep quiet. We are happy. But it's like that. It will come. So Narada Muni is saying this just like that, it will come. So then the last sentence of Srila Prabhupada says, all the bona fide acharyas preach this truth of returning home back to Godhead and warn men not to make a false plan for happiness in a place where happiness is only a myth. Okay, that's a very strong statement. What you need to take from that is that acharyas, even though they are from different time span, they all say the same thing. But what gain do they have, right? What profit they are making, you know? They have nothing to gain in terms of materially. So why they're not making millions of dollars or what? So they're not. So why are they saying all the same? All of them are saying things. So that's another thing you can understand. They are actually telling the truth because they are experienced. They're truly experiencing this truth. Text 28. Tato vishesham pratipadya nirbhayas.
Tato vishesham pratipadya nirbhayas.
Tenatmana ponala murti ratvaram.
Tenatmana ponala murti ratvaram.
Jyotirmayo vayum upetya kale.
Jyotirmayo vayum upetya kale.
Vayu atmanakam brihadatmalingam. After reaching Satyaloka, the devotee is specifically able to be incorporated fearlessly by the subtle body in an identity similar to that of the gross body, and one after another he gradually attains stages of existence from earthly to watery, fiery, glowing and airy until he reaches the ethereal stage. So you can see, right, the body is changing. That's what I was saying. Subtle, 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 subtle. Okay, so Srila Prabhupada in the last paragraph, anyway, in this purport you will see Srila Prabhupada says, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, all the universes are clustered together up and down, and each and every one of them is separately sevenfold covered. That means each universe, right, is covered by seven layers. So therefore, actually, we cannot see another universe. So what we are seeing is only within this universe. So that's again a big conflict with the modern scientists. But this is very interesting. But Sadhguru Buddha, if you read his Vedic cosmography, he gives you very amazing insights. And you can also talk to Krishna Kirtan. He also reads all these kind of things. So they all, you know, they can understand all these things. Technical thing. But anyway, it is said that our Sukadev Goswami gives a size of this material universe, like 4 billion this earth, 4 billion diameter, whatever. But then in another place, the diameter is also given, but it's much, much bigger. So then Sadhguru Buddha actually calculates and says, because of the way it is measured, one is within and one is from the outside, you measure like that. So he reconciles it and says it works actually. There's nothing is wrong. No statement is wrong like that. It's just that we need to know how it's calculated, from whose point of view it's calculated and so on. And then there's another statement where it says, for the yogi to go to the outer covering of the universe, it's only 2 billion miles. But then 2 billion miles is too short if you think about it. So that doesn't work. So then he says that because the yogis are so perfect, the demigods are all, they have the siddhis, for them their travel is 2 billion. You know? And that's one thing he says. The other thing is, as you approach the coverings, time dilation happens. And the elements are also different. Something changes, he says. Even though the covering is earth, water, fire, he says they are of a different nature. Because they are more subtle as they become, and he says as one comes to the outer layer, it is totally spiritual. Yeah, even though there's coverings called earth, water, fire. And he also says, therefore, anything that happens within, you actually can't see out and they can't see, because there's a layer of fire. And that fire won't let a light to pass through either way. So it's very interesting if you read the Sadaputta's thing. I mean, it's very technical, but you can make some headways. So anyway, Srila Prabhupada writes, Sridhara Swami confirms that a part of the material nature after being initiated by the Lord is known as the Mahatattva. So the first covering is Mahatattva actually. Anyway, from there we'll see. A fractional portion of the Mahatattva is called the false ego. So from the Mahatattva you get false ego. A portion of the ego is the vibration of sound. And a portion of sound is atmospheric air. So you can see how it's coming down to gross level. A portion of the airy atmosphere is turned into forms. And the forms constitute the power of electricity or heat, which is fire actually. Heat produces the smell of the aroma of the earth. And the gross earth is produced by such aroma. And all these combined together constitute the cosmic phenomenon. The extent of the cosmic phenomenon is calculated to be diametrically both ways 4 billion miles. Then the coverings of the universe begin. The first stratum of the covering is calculated to extend 80 million miles. Each one is 10 times the other one. And the subsequent coverings of the universe are respectively of fire, effulgence, air and ether one after another, each extending 10 times further than the previous. The fearless devotee of the Lord penetrates each of them and ultimately reaches the absolute atmosphere where everything is of one and the same spiritual identity. Now you can understand, it becomes spiritual. Then the devotee enters one of the Vaikuntha planets where he assumes exactly the same form as the Lord and engages in the loving transcendental service of the Lord. That is the highest perfection of devotional life. Beyond this, there is nothing to be desired or achieved by the perfect yogi. So this is the traveling of a yogi, how he changes his body and then finally gets forearms or whichever his destination is. And it's amazing. Srila Prabhupada just gives okay, here, we'll show you what it is. But we are not qualified to really understand because we don't have the adhikar, the intelligence and so on. But by following all that Srila Prabhupada has given, for sure we can understand these things. Yeah? And in another section, all this layers of covering is explained, I think, in the fifth canto, right? Each covering, there is one Lord is worshipped. Okay, earth, water, fire. Each covering, there's one deity is worshipped. So one predominating deity, like here is the earth is Bur, earth, Mother Earth is in charge in this layer. But all the way to the last layer, Mahatattva, is known as Priti Devi. So she is in charge of that. So their personality is also living within these layers and so on.
But
humans
are not living in the layers, they are just passing through it because that's not a planet.
No, there are personalities living there. Yes.
There are planets within these.
Oh, I see what you mean. There are some living entities there, but not necessarily the planet. Yeah. Okay, text 29. Granena gandham rasanena vairasam.
Granena gandham rasanena vairasam.
Rupam chadrishtya swasanam tvachaiva.
Rupam chadrishtya swasanam tvachaiva.
Srotrena chopetya nabho gunatvam.
Srotrena chopetya nabho gunatvam.
Pranena chakutim upaiti yogi.
Pranena chakutim upaiti yogi.
The devotee thus surpasses the subtle objects of different senses, like aroma by smelling, the palate by tasting, vision by seeing forms, touch by contacting the vibrations of the ear, by ethereal identification, and the sense organs by material activities. So Prabhupada writes, beyond the sky there are subtle coverings, resembling the elementary coverings of the universes. Okay, so you were asking that day, right, why I say elemental? So this is why. They are the same, but they are different. They are getting subtler. The gross coverings are the development of partial ingredients of the subtle causes. So the yogi or devotee, along with the liquidation of the gross elements, relinquishes the subtle causes like aroma by smelling the pure spiritual spark. The living entity thus becomes completely cleansed of all material contamination to become eligible for entrance into the kingdom of God. Meaning he gives up all these attachments, all the gross things and then the subtle things, and then he is in his spiritual form. Text 30. Don't try to understand too many of these things because it's kind of difficult to know how they do this also. Buridhan Prabhu also don't touch all those things also. So just that they are giving up all these attachments. So I'm sure if you read Sarabhut's book, he may... No, I don't think he talks about it, right?
Third character.
I'm not sure, but it's a different way they are describing. You get bewildered by, and you try to figure out how they are. That is not the goal, actually. We don't have to worry about how he is giving up this sense by touching and smelling and all that. We just accept that he gives up. So maybe when we are yogi, we can understand the knowledge is given how to give up those things. Yeah. And Prabhupada also doesn't go into it too detail.
So we know our four bona fide Vaishnava paramparas. We also know the impersonalist and Shankaracharya paramparas. So for these yogis, which is the bona fide parampara?
No, the process of yoga is always devotional. It's always devotional. Yeah, it's still devotional. It's because you are impersonalist, you don't do devotion. See, maybe you don't understand. Each yoga, there's a different methodology. But it's all linked to bhakti. Right? If you don't link to bhakti, then the only thing you're doing is impersonalism. You should know. Huh? Why are you asking me? Huh? Which yoga? Tell him. Satya yoga. You don't cover that in your classes?
Out of course.
No. We did cover, so you should cover that.
I was thinking tapascharya.
Huh?
So in Satya Yoga, they do meditation, I was thinking.
Yeah, but that's yoga, no?
Meditation is part of
meditation. We remember Astanga Yoga, one of the eight. So that asanas is just sitting down. You're only thinking asana. Astanga Yoga means it includes all these stages.
Actual meditation starts from the stage.
Yeah. Whatever, the point is, it's called Astanga Yoga. Yeah. That means there's eight stage steps in the yoga. It starts from Yama, Niyama, right? Asanam, Pranayam, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, and Samadhi. Okay, text 30. Sābhūta śukṣmendriya sannikharṣam.
Sābhūta śukṣmendriya sannikharṣam.
Manomayam devamayam vikaryam.
Manomayam devamayam vikaryam.
Samsadhyagatya sahatena yati.
Samsadhyagatya sahatena yati.
Vijnana tatvam guna sannirodham.
Vijnana tatvam guna sannirodham.
The devotee, thus surpassing the gross and the subtle forms of coverings, enters the plane of egoism. And in that status, he merges the material modes of nature, ignorance and passion, in this point of neutralization, and thus reaches egoism in goodness. After this, all egoism is merged in the Mahatattva, and he comes to the point of pure self-realization. So remember, from Mahatattva, ego came out and so on. So now he's just gives up. And don't ask me how he does it, because I don't know how he does it. But it says here, that's what he does. He through his yoga, he has the potency to do that things. Just like when Lord Brahma didn't know how to create, and then he meditated, then he went into the stamp, and then he created the entire universe from that stamp of the lotus. Remember? I mean, if you have read Brahma Samhita. Now, how he does it is because he gets the knowledge from Krishna. Then he uses that. So, in the same way, the yogi has the knowledge to give up certain things, to merge it with certain things. Like it's a power like that.
Even in the end of the first canto, Yudhishthira Maharaj does the same thing.
Yeah. Is it Yudhishthira Maharaj? Not Yudhishthira Maharaj.
Dhritarashtra.
No, but Yudhishthira Maharaj, something similar is
something similar is mentioned, that and all of a sudden he gives up his body, but then in purport Prabhupada says that both Draupadi and Subhadra also did not have to give up their body.
Yeah.
And then they get liberated.
Yeah, Yudhishthira had to go through some reason, he had to go through that. And it's explained later on why. So anyway, now if you look at the verses, right, there is like Manomaya and Devamayam, no? Now we remember in the Bhagavad Gita, I think in the 13th chapter, right? Yeah, 13th. So Srila Prabhupada explains that from the lowest is Annamaya. Annamaya means you understand the Lord through the food, actually. You know, you see the Lord through the food. Then higher than that is the Pranamaya. And Pranamaya means you see the Lord through the life air or life forms of a living entity. Oh, so that's how you understand the symptoms of the absolute truth, the Pranamaya. Then from Pranamaya you come to Jnanamaya, intelligence, where realization extends beyond the symptoms of life. Then you understand that one can think, feel and willing. And then that is called Brahman realization, Prabhupada says. And then the next level is called the Vijnana Maya, in which the living entity's mind and life symptoms are distinguished from the living entity himself. So he can see, I am separate from this body, my mind and who I am. And then final stage is called Ananda Maya. That's the highest stage. So this is, in a sense, Manomayam Devamayam. The guy comes to the mode of goodness, which is actually transcendental goodness he's coming to. Okay? So, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes in the middle of the first purport, it is suggested herein that the process of purifying the senses is by the yogic way. Namely, the gross senses are merged in the mode of ignorance and the subtle senses are merged in the mode of passion. The mind belongs to the mode of goodness and therefore is called Devamaya or godly. Perfect purification of mind is made possible when one is fixed in the conviction of being the eternal servitor of the Lord. Therefore, simple attainment of goodness is also a material mode. So mode of goodness is still material. So just like, it actually applies to us also, because when we do devotional service, we get purified. But we come to the platform of goodness and then we are Om Tat Sat. We don't want to move on. We are happy. And that's that causes problem, because everything is happy, you know, our life is good, everything is okay, a little bit problem, not so bad, but more or less we are satisfied in the mode of goodness, and that is also a problem. So therefore, Prabhupada says, therefore simple attainment of goodness is also a material mode. But one has to surpass this stage of material goodness and reach the point of purified goodness or Vasudeva Sattva. This Vasudeva Sattva helps one to enter into the kingdom of God, Anandamaya, realization.
This question is asked by Bhrigumuni.
Bhrigumuni.
Where? He's asking his father.
Where?
Taittiriya Upanishad.
Taittiriya Upanishad. Bhrigumuni asked the same thing.
His father in this description.
Okay.
Then he says, you do tapa, and then he goes. Then he gets, first answer is, food is the source.
Yeah. Then he continues tapa?
Then he continues,
comes
back.
Yeah.
Then he comes back. It's called
as
Bhrigu Valli.
Okay.
Bhrigu Valli is this whole section.
Okay. It's very nice. Maybe you can send the link to the devotees and they can read about that. Okay, then Srila Prabhupada talks about how we can practice this bhakti yoga and the results of this yogi as well as the devotee who's practicing bhakti yoga. So in the paragraph where it starts with Lord Sri Chaitanya, three or four lines down, Prabhupada says, a sincere soul is helped by the Lord through meeting a bona fide spiritual master, the representative of the Lord. By the instruction of such a spiritual master, one gets the seed of bhakti yoga. So this verse is Brahmanda Brahmate Kona Bhagyavan Jiva. Bhagyavan, very sincere, and he is fortunate. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends that the devotee sow the seed of bhakti yoga, bhakti lata beach. Bhakti yoga in his heart and nurture it by watering of hearing and chanting the holy name, fame, etc. of the Lord. So therefore, again Srila Prabhupada emphasized chanting here. Very important, and which I also have been telling the last few days, please chant nicely. Now how many of you are reading Krishna book every night? Okay, slightly more today. Now you have to do these things. Every night read Krishna book before you go to bed. Or you can, you know, or your mother reads to you, or your father reads to you, or the family reads together, whatever. But do it. This is the medicine. So don't not do it. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends that the devotee sow the seed of bhakti yoga in his heart and nurture it by the watering of hearing and chanting the holy name, fame, etc. of the Lord. So this is very important. Very important. That means in the morning, how many of you are stopping now and chanting properly? Nobody?
Once in a while. Better than previously.
Better than previously, good. Yeah, but this is the start. The more you train your mind, then you will come to a point of chanting nicely. It's going to be a battle, because your mind is now saying, why are you fighting me? You're my best friend. Yeah, it's going to be like that. So this is the start. You have to start shutting down the mind and then say, no, you listen to me. The mind will say, no, I have a better solution. Yeah, this is going to be difficult, but you have to do it now. Otherwise, your whole life you'll be cheated by the mind. You don't want to be cheated. The simple process of offenselessly chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord will gradually promote one very soon to the stage of emancipation. So the key is offenselessly chanting. So we have to be very careful how we chant also. Otherwise, inattentive chanting will cause problems. Yeah.
In the beginning of the purport, it says the mind belongs to the mode of goodness, but it cheats you. So how it is can be a mode of good? How it can be a mode of goodness?
Because the mind is not in the mode of goodness. It is off mode of goodness, but then you are associating with Rajaguna. And then because you associate with Rajaguna, the mind takes that nature. Okay? Kamesha, Krodesha, that the verse you should know. Somebody was asking? No. Okay. the simple process, yeah, stage of emancipation. Gradually, one gets to the stage of emancipation. There are three stages in chanting the holy name of the Lord. The first stage is the offensive chanting of the holy name, so which we all do. In the beginning, we are offensively chanting. Now, the point is we need to get out of this stage. The problem is we are always in this stage because we are not careful and attentive in chanting. So that's why I'm saying every day when you chant, stop when you feel that your mind is not focused. Stop and tell your mind. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if you are not in attention, you start the round again. Then you never finish. So that's why I'm saying, as soon as you, this is the beginning, at least you stop and tell your mind, don't cheat me, please, and then continue. You know? At least do that in the beginning. Later on, you can become more and more refined. You know, if you try like Bhakti, you know, that you finish. You can stay, no work for the day. Okay, so the first stage is offensive chanting, Nama Parat. And then the second is a reflective stage of chanting the holy name, which is Nam Abbas. Abbas means shadow, almost chanting purely, but not quite. But you will come to this stage if you are attentive. And some things that Srila Prabhupada, in the beginning, he already tells you, you know, when you are chanting the holy name, fame, etc. of the Lord. That means you can look at a picture. You can Tulsi Maharani in front of you, or some pastime pictures, guru pictures. You can look at them and chant at the same time. The third stage is the offenseless chanting of the holy name of the Lord. In the second stage only, the stage of reflection, between the offensive and offenseless stages, one automatically attains the stage of emancipation. So when you come to that stage, immediately you can get liberated. But you see, we are so attached to being offensive. And in the offenseless stage, one actually enters into the kingdom of God. Although physically he may apparently be within the material world, to attain the offenseless stage, one must be on guard in the following manner. Okay?
So, the reflecting just means
success. Shadow. Abbas, yeah. That means almost there. But once you come to the stage, quickly, once you are there, it's like anartha nivritti. Then you can move quickly. Until you come to anartha nivritti, you cannot move forward. It's like you carry a big stone, and then you come to the river Viraj, and then the guru say, drop it and cross over. You say, no, I can't drop it.
Carry it so far.
Yeah. So, you know, like that, you hold the stone and say, no, I don't know, what do you want to drop the stone? No, I don't know how to drop. That's what our stage is. That's why you need all the help, everyone's help, not just your help or your wife's help, not just your god brother, god sister, everyone's help. So, you know, otherwise you all get into cliquish group, one group here chanting, another group chanting. No, you're supposed to come together. At least you chant is good, but if you come together, kirtan together, yeah, be a family. We are all in the same family, actually. Yeah. So Prabhupada says, not just here chanting, one should also read and hear the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the associated devotees. So you cannot really study these scriptures properly on our own. Not possible. But in the association of the devotees, the mercy of the Lord is opened easily, revealed easily. And that's why we're doing this thing. So we're all actually learning something. You know? Otherwise, it's not possible. very difficult. You may come to the same thing, but it will take longer. What you get in this room in an hour, you may take 2-3 months or maybe a year to come to the same conclusion. You understand? That's how difficult it is if you are on your own. Sometimes never, not in this whole life. Yeah. So therefore, association is very important. So then Prabhupada continues and he discusses how this Bhakti Lata actually sprouts, and then he goes through the different coverings of the universe all the way to Vaikuntha, past the Vaikuntha, goes to Goloka Vrindavan and takes shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. And that's the bliss we will feel when we chant purely. So that's why he says, you're not physically there, but you're here. Okay?
Mahaprabhu's movement is Sankirtan.
Yes.
Sankirtan is, but chanting is, you know, it is similar. It's the same holy name, but it is still different. So, chanting is, in one sense, we also call it mantra meditation. It's like a meditation. So, just trying to understand that why chanting is there a given prominent importance. I mean, Kirtan is also, I'm not comparing the two. But I'm saying that it's not just Kirtan. Chanting is given a lot of importance. So, just to understand it better for ourselves, why chanting was also specifically mentioned, not just Kirtan. That is meditation. In one sense, it is meditation as compared to Kirtan, which is. So, why this was given importance? Is there anything?
It's for your personal purification. You have to chant properly. And also, you are dedicating to the Lord, you're taking a submissive role also. You know. In a kirtan, you're getting the benefit of the vibration, the holy name. But when you're chanting, you're submissively chanting. You're surrendering to the holy name. Yeah. So therefore, you have to surrender to the holy name. We don't want to surrender to anybody. So in a kirtan, you don't feel that way, but you're getting the potency and it's purifying you. So therefore, Sankirtan Yajna is important, so we can help each other. But for personally, you have to surrender to the holy name. Up to this point in our life, we haven't really surrendered so much. We have slow, little by little we surrender. First we chant a little round, then 16 rounds, then we surrender a little bit more, take initiation and so on. But ultimately, the means and the end is through chanting also. Complete surrender is also through that process. Everything is revealed to us. In the previous yugas, you have yoga and other things, you get revelations, you get purified differently. But here, to get personal purification, you have to do chanting and then extend it through service. Okay, then Prabhupada says, right, how it goes all the way. And then, why the working devotee, but the working devotee must always be mindful, so the kripa which has so grown will not be cut off. Therefore, he should be mindful of the following considerations. The end of that paragraph, he says, offense by one at the feet of a pure devotee may be likened to the mad elephant who devastates a very good garden if it enters. So we have to be very careful, we protect ourselves. One must be very careful to guard himself against such offenses at the feet of pure devotees, just as one protects a creeper by all around fencing. And three, it so happens that by the watering process some weeds are also grown, and unless such weeds are uprooted, the nurturing of the main creeper or the creeper of Bhakti Yoga may be hampered. So these are where we try to clearing stage, you know, anatta-nivritti stage. You want to get rid of all these bad things that you are still holding on to. Actually, these weeds are material enjoyment. Merging of the self in the absolute without separate individuality and many other desires in the field of religion, economic development, sense enjoyment and emancipation. So bhakti is beyond all these things. All these are materially tinged. There are many other weeds like disobedience to the tenets of the revered scriptures, like not observing certain things or saying I don't feel like doing it, you know, don't want to observe Ekadasi, like that. Or unnecessary engagements, you know, killing animals, ahimsa principle, anchoring after material gain, you know, even though devotee, but in the heart, hoping that, you know, you strike lottery, you know, like that. Prestige and adoration, all these are lusty things, or actually sex desires in a different way. If sufficient care is not taken, then the watering process may only help to breed the weeds. Now, that means, again, if you don't have the good proper understanding and association, you will tend to cultivate the wrong qualities. Okay? And that's going to bring us down. And that's the weeds. Stunting the healthy growth of the main kripa and resulting in no fructification of the ultimate requirement, love of God.
So, the point that watering process actually is the watering process is process of hearing and chanting.
Yes.
It actually helps the grow the weeds. Mm-hmm. It's not just neutral. Mm-hmm. It actually makes it grow more. So, I become more proud by the process.
Yes,
of
yes. If you're not careful, that's what the point is. Offenses and all will go in the wrong way.
Nama Prabhu will award material.
Huh?
Nama Prabhu will start awarding the material.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because let's say you chant and you're thinking, I want this, I want that. Then you will get those things. Because that's your desire. So that will be fulfilled by the Lord. If that's in the heart. So that will take hold, and then the real goal is you want to develop love of God, and that won't take place because this is offensive to that. The devotee must therefore be very careful to uproot the different weeds in the very beginning. Only then will the healthy growth of the main kripa not be stunted. So many of us don't know this, we don't know these things, that we are cultivating bad things. Because we are not trained properly sometimes. And then we just, okay, you just chant, okay, chanting. But then you're thinking, well, watching TV, playing football with the thing or whatever, right? Playing chess, this, that, reading book and chanting. So all these are different kinds of apparatus and offenses to the holy name. And so our mind is actually not even controlled. It's just doing its own thing. So it's mechanical chanting. So therefore Prabhupada says even a parrot can chant mechanically, and then one day it'll die and it'll go caw like that. So says so useless, no benefit. So we don't want to die like that. And by so doing, 8, devotee is able to relish the fruit of love of God and thus live practically with Lord Krishna even in this life and be able to see the Lord in every step. So, Srila Prabhupada is actually giving us the clue that you can actually see Krishna even in this life. The highest perfection lies to enjoy life constantly in the association of the Lord, and one who can relish this does not aspire after any temporary enjoyment of the material world via other media. So we don't go after any other media. So that includes every nonsense. So we have to be careful. But it's very simple, actually. You know, if your intelligence is sharp, you know it's very simple. But are you able to avoid these things? Text 31. Tenatmanatmanam upaiti shantam.
Tenatmanatmanam upaiti shantam.
Anandam anandamayo vasane.
Anandam anandamayo vasane.
Etam gatim bhagavatim gatoya.
Etam gatim bhagavatim gatoya.
Savai punarneha visajjate yanga.
Savai punarneha visajjate yanga.
Only the purified soul can attain the perfection of associating with the Personality of Godhead in complete bliss and satisfaction in his constitutional state. Whoever is able to renovate such devotional perfection is never again attracted by this material world and he never returns. So, Bhagavad Gita also, right? Janma karma cha me devyam. You know, the same thing, principle is here. Once you go back, you don't come back. One never takes birth. And so, the same way, the translation Prabhupada says, whoever is able to renovate such devotional perfection. That means cultivate those right things. Once you cultivate properly all these right things, you won't be attracted to material things anymore. In fact, you should give up material attraction. Well, it will be true. For example, for this whole month you are reading Bhagavatam every day, right? You find that some things won't attract you so much. Because it's a benefit, immediate benefit. But as soon as you stop doing it, then your mind starts taking over, and then you start to go back to material things. So, Prabhupada says, he wants us to take a special note of this description, Gatim Bhagavatam. To become merged in the rays of the Parabrahman, the Supreme Person of Godhead, as desired by the Brahmavadi impersonation, is not Bhagavatim perfection. The Bhagavatas never accept merging in the impersonal rays of the Lord, but always aspire after personal association with the Supreme Lord in one of the Vaikuntha spiritual planets in the spiritual sky. So you want us to understand that term is means not merging, but rather to do service there in the Vaikuntha. Now further down, after he talks about impersonalists who want to merge, where he says they are not really satisfied, so they'll fall down again from even the Brahma Jyoti where they are merged. And then in the third paragraph or fourth paragraph, Prabhupada writes, we should further note in this verse the two words Shantam and Anandam, which denote that devotional service the Lord can really bestow upon the devotee two important benedictions, namely peace and satisfaction. Because any other process you do, you are never going to be satisfied, nor are you going to be peaceful. Right? Bhukti mukti siddhi kami shakale ashanta. Never, not possible to be happy. Only Krishna bhakti nishkama. That means nishkama means they don't have any personal desires, material desires, nishkama. That is not a personal endeavor. It's for pleasure of the desire of the Lord. Then ateva shanta. He is always peaceful. Because he's doing for someone, so he's happy. Just like when a parent buys or does something for the child, it's not for the parent, but the parent is always happy to do that. You know, so that's the same kind of analogy, if I can draw. Yeah. Then Prabhupada says, the impersonalist is desirous of becoming one with the Supreme, or in other words, he wants to become the Supreme. Then he says, this is a myth only. The mystic yogis become encumbered by various mystic powers and so have neither peace nor satisfaction. So you can see, so many yogis we read in the Puranas, they get so many power, but they're always fighting, right, with one another. So they're never peaceful or satisfied. Even if they have something, they go and grab something. Ultimately, what they grab? Some woman here or some wealth there. So is that what the yogi siddhi for? So it doesn't make sense. So it's not satisfactory.
So these impersonalist tendencies are also weeds?
Yes, it is a big weed. It is the biggest weed, you know. So to be very careful. Ultimately, the biggest thing is after you give up everything, you think you are God. That's the biggest, one of the biggest fears as a practicing transcendentalist.
So, is there a difference between the bhakti and mukti siddhika? Is there a difference between bhakti and kami?
The word karma is used as kami, not karmi. You should go and look up that verse. Tell him where to look up. Okay, where was this? Okay, so neither the impersonalist nor the yogi can have real peace and satisfaction, but the devotee can become fully peaceful and satisfied because of his association with the complete whole. So again, Prabhupada uses the word complete whole because it's complete. So therefore, when you serve the complete whole, you must be completely satisfied. Therefore, merging the absolute or attaining some mystic powers has no attraction for the devotee. So the devotee is never attracted to all this extra powers or whatever. They are not interested in that. And then the next paragraph, Srila Prabhupada says, attainment of love of Godhead means complete freedom from all other attractions. So again, you know, use yourself as the experimental person and see how much attraction I have today for Krishna. How much will I have tomorrow? How am I going to work towards that attraction of Krishna? Because we have so many things we want to do in this life, but this will go on forever, and we have been doing it for many lifetimes anyway. So it is a never-ending thing. Just like when you put ghee in fire, it will only become more hungry for, and it will not be satisfied. So in the same way, we should stop going after materialistic things. The only thing that can satisfy us purely and truly is devotional service or spiritual activities.
So one more question on the bhakti lata. If somebody is very sick or coma is extreme, but even if they are normally feeling very tired or something, and they cannot with the same intensity do the devotional practices, what happens? Will that lata be stagnant or?
Oh, well, it depends, right? What they have achieved, how, you know, when Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, right? If they are not, if they are sincere, he will come personally and cover whatever they like at the time of death. You know? Or in another case, in the 6th chapter, he says, Srimate, what? Suchinam Srimate Gehe. Yeah? He says that for those who have done certain things, they will take birth in such auspicious family or in a Vaishnava family to continue where they stopped. So depending on your surrender and depending on how much you have given to Krishna, he will allocate certain pros and cons, you know. Krishna decides where, what we need and what we don't need. You can turn it off, yeah. That's okay, don't worry about it. And then the last paragraph, to be more clear, Prabhupada says, if one wants to attain the stage of love of Godhead, he must give up all desires for material enjoyment. He should refrain from worshipping any of the demigods, and he should devote himself only to the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he says, he must give up the foolish idea of becoming one with the Lord and the desire to have some wonderful powers just to get the ephemeral adoration of the world.
So all desires, devotees are practicing already the four regulative principles. So all desires means what else?
Even though you practice, you have desires, no? Material desires are always there.
Yeah. That I want promotion.
Yeah. Even when you restrict from eating meat, you may think, you know, sometimes I want to eat meat. These things will come up also in your mind occasionally. Or you may think, oh, there's a beautiful girl or beautiful boy, you know, I can enjoy that person, you know, like that. Those things will come. So give up completely means we shouldn't even entertain such thought. So unless we chant nicely, where we make sure our mind can focus on chanting, we cannot do the other giving up so easily. It's going to be disturbance all the time. When you chant nicely, you can control the mind, and then all the senses will be controlled properly. But if you don't chant properly, it is a tough battle. It's the same battle every day because we're not chanting properly. Okay, so the desire is always there. Prabhupada says, right? He says the desire is there. It's just that he don't pay attention to them anymore. Yeah, that's the difference between pure devotee and us. We will pay attention and think, okay, what is this? But pure devotee is like, so therefore it doesn't disturb them. The desires, those desires will come every now and then, like waves in the ocean.
Second chapter.
Some of the, yes, yeah. So they will come. You cannot avoid the desires are natural. But we cultivate the positive desires to serve Krishna. It's very cold. Alright, so then next go on. Text 32. Ete shriti te nirpa veda gite.
Ete shriti te nirpa veda gite.
त्वया विपृष्टे च सनातने च ये वाय पुरा ब्रह्मण आहतुष्ट आराधितो भगवान् वासुदेवः आराधिता राधारानी से Your Majesty Maharaj Parikshit, know that all that I have described in reply to your proper inquiry is just according to the version of the Vedas and it is eternal truth. This was described personally by Lord Krishna unto Brahma, with whom the Lord was satisfied upon being properly worshipped. The important point is, Sukadev Goswami is not making up anything. That's why he's saying that. He's quoting, so that's one of the reasons why we quote from the Shastra, you know, the verses and so on, because we want to tell the listener or whoever we are talking to that I am not making my story up, you know. Or we say from the Bhagavad Gita, this is what is said, you know. If you don't quote the verse, at least you should say like that. So, in the same sense, Sukadeva Goswami is also making it very clear that whatever he is describing is coming through disciplic succession. That's the other point. Because Krishna spoke to Brahma, Brahma spoke to Narada, spoke to, and Vyasadeva spoke to Sukadeva Goswami. So he's not making up. I'm not making it up. Hey dude, I'm not making up this thing. So he's telling him, you know, you want to listen or not, you know. So in the Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada emphasizes this point. The disciplic succession holds that the Vedas were uttered by Lord Krishna to Brahma, by Brahma to Narada, and by Narada to Vyasadeva, and then by Vyasadeva to Sukadeva Goswami, and so on. So there's no difference between the versions of all the authorities. That is a potency, you know, of the parampara. The truth is eternal, and as such, there cannot be any new opinion about the truth. So therefore, nobody can make their own story, because you have the Bhagavatam to check, the Bhagavad Gita to check, the Puranas to check. And then Prabhupada says that is the way of knowing the knowledge contained in the Vedas. It is not a thing to be understood by one's erudite scholarship or by the fashionable interpretations of mundane scholars. So the same way, it's like if you get 100 marks for your test, doesn't mean you are pure devotee. Don't rubber stamp pure devotees. The modern scientists are also authorities for the common man for some scientific truths. Now, Srila Prabhupada also want to acknowledge that they also know something. Okay? The common man follows the version of the scientist. This means that the common man follows the authority. The Vedic knowledge is also received in such way. Now he's making his point. So you are accepting the scientist's point. Now we also have an authority from the Guru Parampara point of view. So therefore we accept that in that way. So don't come and say we have no authority. You understand? So in the same way, when you talk to people, when they question, we say we have our authority, and it's scientific, and it comes in a disciplic succession. Now, whether they want to listen or not, logically they should accept it, you know. But if they are not logical, in most cases they are not, then don't worry about it so much. Just explain and let them think about it. Text 33. नाहि अतो अन्य शिवापंता विशाता संस्रिता विहा वासुदेवे भगवती भक्ति योगो यतो भवेत. For those who are wandering in the material universe, there's no more auspicious means of deliverance than what is aimed at in the direct devotional service of Lord Krishna. So in the next verse we'll see, Bhagavan Brahma Kashnyena Triran Viksha Manishaya Tad Adhyavasya Kutasto Ratiratmanyato
bhavet. Ratiratmanyato bhavet.
The great personality Brahma, with great attention and concentration of mind, studied the Vedas 3 times, and after scrutinizingly examining them, he ascertained that attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the highest perfection of religion. So again, he's answering Parikshit Maharaj's questions. But at the same time, he is also saying the highest authority in this entire universe, he himself studied 3 times. We study 1 time, a half time, so we cannot do it. But here you can see, even Brahma studied it at least 3 times. Just imagine, he is the most intelligent person in the whole universe, and he studied it 3 times to say, okay, he's the topmost person. Yes, Brahma's body is made of intelligence. So we cannot question this.
Clean it.
So same way, for you to understand the Bhagavatam, you should read it at least 3 times. So 18 cantos, so 12 cantos, not 18. So anyway, the people who are against the Vedas, you know, just like Krishna says, right? Veda vada rata partha nanyet astiti vadinaha. So we have to understand that people like that will always argue, you know, they don't want to accept. But we should understand, this is the last instruction. From Sukadeva Goswami about the authority, that we should accept this. Text 35. Bhagavan Sarva Bhuteshu.
Bhagavan Sarva Bhuteshu.
Lakshita Swatmana Hari.
Lakshita Swatmana Hari.
Drishyair Buddhya Dibir Drashta.
Drishyair Buddhya Dibir Drashta.
Lakshanair Anuma Pakai.
Lakshanair Anuma Pakai.
Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, is in every living being along with the individual soul. And this fact is perceived and hypothesized in our acts of seeing and taking help from the intelligence. That's a big purport here. Let me see, text 35. Okay, let's read this. The general argument of the common man is that since the Lord is not visible to our eyes, how can one either surrender unto Him or render transcendental loving service unto Him? So this is how, you know, Srila Prabhupada is explaining to us, because he is also saying how Sukadeva Goswami is saying that you can easily understand there's a Lord in your body also. So Prabhupada says, to such a common man, here's a practical suggestion given by Srila Sukadeva Goswami as to how one can perceive the Supreme Lord by reason and perception. Actually, the Lord is not perceivable by our present materialized senses. But when one is convinced of the presence of the Lord by a practical service attitude, there's a revelation by the Lord's mercy, and such a pure devotee of the Lord can perceive the Lord's presence always and everywhere. So now, again, Prabhupada is giving us a very openly, he is declaring how you can perceive. And what is that he's saying? By service, yeah. So again, how much service are we doing? You know, we may do just 2 hours of chanting or 3 hours of chanting, a little bit offering and that's it. But then that's not sufficient for us to actually perceive the Lord. One has to come to a certain level at least, to start perceiving the Lord. So, therefore, Prabhupada's point here is practical service attitude must be cultivated. That means if Amitananda calls and say, we need somebody at the temple to do something, then you all should say, everyone should come running, I want to do. That's practical service attitude. But we haven't cultivated that, therefore it's very difficult. But because it's difficult, then how can we then perceive the Lord? Which means we don't want to serve the Lord. So therefore the Lord won't present Himself to us. Now, if the intention is to, yes, I want to serve for the Lord's pleasure, then Prabhupada says there is a revelation by the Lord's mercy. So then the Lord reveals, guarantees something for us. And because the Lord is merciful, that devotee feels the Lord everywhere, in anything they do. So such a devotee becomes empowered. So Krishna Vina Shakti, then they can go and do amazing things. But if you don't open ourselves to that service attitude, then we are only cultivating anarthas. Material desires will come in. If Krishna cannot come in, then Maya is there. It is, there's no such thing as you are halfway here and halfway there. You know, there's no such thing actually. We are either in the material world or in Krishna, because we are tatastha. We are here or there. We are never, even though we are tatastha, we are not like we are half spiritual, half material. No. You know.
We are not tadashya
tadashya. We are not tadashya tadashya. Yeah, we are not the tatastha whatever. We are not like one of those avatars who can be here and there. Okay? We are not. Okay, so that is not possible, and this should be understood nicely. Then Prabhupada continues, because of the mercy, he can perceive that intelligence is the form direction of the Paramatma, plenary portion of the personality of Godhead. The presence of Paramatma in everyone's company is not very difficult to realize, even for the common man. The procedure is as follows. One can perceive one's self-identification and feel positively that he exists. Right? Yeah, I'm existing. So that's what Prabhupada is saying. So you can understand that, he says. He may not feel it very abruptly, but by using a little intelligence, he can feel that he is not the body. Like when he's sleeping and then he doesn't feel the body. Right? When he gets up, then he understands he has a body. So then he knows in dream state and all. So that's Prabhupada is saying he can identify that. Yeah? By using a little intelligence, he can feel that he's not the body. He can feel that the hand, the leg, the head, the hair and the limbs are all his bodily parts and parcels. Right? Like Prabhupada did the in the school with the kid. Point to your nose, point to this, point to that. Then now he said, point to yourself. Then the kid didn't know where to point because he already pointed everything else. Right? And so similarly, he's telling the same things here. The hair, the limbs are all his bodily parts and parcel. But as such, the hand, the legs, the head, etc. cannot be identified with his self. Therefore, just by using intelligence, he can distinguish and separate his self from other things that he sees. So the natural conclusion is that the living being, either man or beast, is a seer, and he sees besides himself all other things. So there's a difference between the seer and the seen. Then Prabhupada continues, now by a little use of the intelligence, we can also readily agree that the living being who sees the things beyond himself by ordinary vision has no power to see or to move independently. All our ordinary actions and perceptions depend on various forms of energy supplied to us by nature in various combinations. Like how do you see eyes working, our senses of perception and of action, that is to say, our five perceptive senses of hearing, touch, sight, taste and smell, as well as our five senses of action, namely hands, legs, speech, evacuation organ, reproductive organ, also our three subtle senses, namely mind, intellect and ego, products of the 13 senses and all are supplied to us by various arrangements of gross or subtle forms of natural energy. Like how can we hear? How can we touch? All these things, an intelligent person will be asking, how is it I can taste something if I'm not this body? What is making me smell these things and so on? So then Prabhupada continues like that. You can read, you'll see that ultimately you come to the, it's like a Sankhya. You come to the stage of understanding there's something superior to everything that is here. So he uses intelligence that way to understand there's a higher authority. And then Prabhupada says in the next paragraph, at this point in our investigation, we may consider the following question. On the one hand, we realize that all our perceptions and activities are conditioned by arrangements of the material nature, yet we also ordinarily feel and say, I am perceiving or I am doing. Therefore, we can say that our material senses of perception and action are moving because we are identifying the self with the material body, and that the superior principle of super soul self is guiding and supplying us according to our desires. So what is that verse which talk about the superior principle supplying and maintaining us? That's in Bhagavad Gita. What about in the Upanishad? Yes. Yes. So you should know that verse, and you should know which Purana or Upanishad is coming from, and the translation also. You go and figure. Yes, but you need to know the English translation and all. Okay. And then in the last paragraph, Prabhupada says, so far as common sense is concerned, we come to the conclusion that there are three identities, namely matter, spirit and super spirit. Now you have to go back and read this paragraph, this three or four paragraphs carefully, and you should make notes because it's very detailed. I'm just going little points here and there. Now if you go to the Bhagavad Gita or the Vedic intelligence, we can further understand that all three identities, namely matter, individual spirit and the super spirit, are all dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The super self is a partial representation or plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Bhagavad Gita affirms that the Supreme Personality of Godhead dominates all over the material world by his partial representation only. God is great and he cannot be simply an order supply of the individual selves. Therefore, the super self cannot be a full representation of the Supreme Self, Purushottama, the Absolute Personality of Godhead. So, this is another way Srila Prabhupada wants to distinguish between the Paramatma and Bhagavan. Okay? He says they are the same, at the same time they are not the same. You understand? Yeah, that he's saying one is only a partial representation. Because he doesn't act in the capacity of a, like Bhagavan. Yeah. And then, a couple of lines down, Prabhupada says, the Bhagavad Gita is a preliminary conception of the personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the further explanation of the science of Godhead. So, if we stick to our determination and pray for the mercy of the director of intelligence sitting within the same bodily tree, like a bird sitting with another bird, and explain the Upanishad, certainly the purport of the revealed information, the Vedas, becomes clear to our vision, and there's no difficulty in realizing the Supreme Person of Godhead, Vasudeva. So that's why I keep telling you all, you need to pray. It's not just, pray. Yeah. You know, when you go in front of deities, what do you all do? Yeah, some of you are laughing. You look, when you just look at all this, it's the same as the Virat Rupa conception. But when you actually pray, then it's personal. So, you have to develop a relationship with Krishna. That's why you need to go and do service for Krishna. The more you do, then you have a relationship. Oh, he is my Lord. The less you do, then you become impersonalist, but a transcendent, bhakti yoga impersonalist. Yeah, that's what we will become.
So the super self is four-handed form and the Bhagavan is two-handed form.
Yes. Yes. In the case because he's Krishna. Krishna is always two-handed. If he's four-handed, then he's in Dwaraka or Mathura, like that. Alright, let's go to text 36. We're about to end. Tasmat sarvatmana rajan
Tasmat sarvatmana rajan
Hari sarvatra sarvada
Hari sarvatra sarvada
Shrotavya kirtitavyascha
Shrotavya kirtitavyascha
Smartavyo bhagavan nirnam
Smartavyo bhagavan nirnam
O King, it is therefore essential that every human being here about glorify and remember the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. Now, he has repeated this several times. In the second canto, he repeated in the first chapter. Fifth verse. And then in the first canto, second chapter, 14th verse, he repeats that also. Very similar, just a few change here and there. What are you all talking about?
The second verse you mentioned was 1 to 14.
1 to 14, yeah? And then the next one is 215, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So he mentions three times he's saying the same thing. He's not changing his message, right? Like we will change when the person argues too much, we'll say, okay, we'll say this. But he's not changing. So everyone must hear about, glorify and remember. This thing he didn't change. Smartavya Bhagavan Nirnam. Did you get it? Okay, I was going to read from Purijan Prabhu's conclusion of this chapter. Okay, Srila Prabhupada's purpose to these final verses of the second canto's second chapter again emphasized the importance of hearing about Krishna even while practicing the other potent processes of Bhakti Yoga. So Prabhupada writes, but out of all the nine different methods, the first one, namely hearing, is the most important function in the process of Bhakti Yoga. Without hearing sufficiently and properly, no one can make any progress by any of the methods of practice. So it's very important to hear from the right source. And then later on Prabhupada says, if human society gives itself to the process of hearing the Vedic literature, it will not become a victim to the impious sounds vibrated by impious men who degrade the standards of the total society. Hearing is solidified by the process of chanting. Hearing is solidified by chanting. One who has perfectly heard from the perfect source becomes convinced about the all-pervading personality of Godhead and thus becomes enthusiastic in glorifying the Lord. So then later on Prabhupada says, the Lord is the master of all time and all space, and therefore the Lord's holy name must be heard, glorified and remembered everywhere in the world. That will bring about the desired peace and prosperity so eagerly awaited by the people of the world. So it's giving like the the peace formula. Simply by reading and hearing the purports from this Vedic literature, one will get peace. Now we'll finish off text 37. Pibanti ye bhagavata atmana satam.
Pibanti ye bhagavata atmana satam.
Katamritam shavana puteshu sambritam.
Katamritam shavana puteshu sambritam.
Punanti te visaya vidushitasyam.
Punanti te visaya vidushitasyam.
Vrajanti tacharana saroru hantikam.
Vrajanti tacharana saroru hantikam.
Those who drink through oral reception, fully filled with the nectarian message of Lord Krishna, the beloved of the devotees, purify the polluted aim of life known as material enjoyment and thus go back to Godhead through the lotus feet of Him, the personality of Godhead. So the word here, punanti, means purify. So indirectly it indicates that the previously described path of meditation on the Lord's universal form is unable to avoid the purification required to actually obtain the Lord's lotus feet. That means, in these sentences, in the last two sentences, he's indicating that even the Paramatma meditation is not the topmost. So he's saying the Bhagavan is the best, or the universal form is not the best. Because devotional service itself brings great purification, one should engage only in devotional service. So that is the message Sukadev Goswami wants to make here. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, the sufferings of the human society are due to a polluted aim of life, namely lording it over the material resources. The more human society engages in exploitation of undeveloped material resources for sense gratification, the more it will be entrapped by the illusory material energy of the Lord, and thus the distress of the world will be intensified instead of diminished. So the more we try to enjoy, the more we are going to suffer. It's directly related, correlated. Okay? There's no other relationship. It's very clear. The more you want to enjoy material nature, the more you are actually suffering. You may not understand your suffering. How do you know some people don't know that they are suffering? You go to the hospital, you go to the emergency ward, or there you see people are all cut up, open, and you can talk to them. They say, I'm doing okay, doctor. They have smashed leg, everything, and they can still say, I'm okay. It's amazing, but you if you go, if you have a chance, you talk to them. People are suffering so much, and the doctor will say, how are you today, Mr. John? He'll say, I'm doing much better. Totally an illusion. So that's why Prabhupada says, the more they do, the more entrapped by illusory material nature, energy. The Lord gives us all these things to eat and have a good life, you know. But we have to understand it's all given to us by Him. We cannot think that I am creating this. I am cultivating the land, growing the food, the grains, everything. But it's not a fact, actually. Not just only in this planet. He's doing it in every planet He's supplying. Okay? Prabhupada says there's no need of machines and tools or huge steel plants for artificially creating comforts of life. Life is never made comfortable by artificial needs, but by plain living and high thinking. So we tend to create an artificial environment and think we are happy. Right? Thousands of years ago, we didn't have so many of the amenities. The people were living peacefully. Of course, they won't accept that. But from Vedic viewpoint of view, we go through parampara, we understand that yes, they were living peacefully and they didn't need all these things. So the highest perfectional duty for human society or thinking, Sukadeva Goswami says, is sufficient by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Just to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, that's all you need to do. For men in this age of Kali, when they have lost the perfect vision of life, this Srimad Bhagavatam is the torchlight by which to see the real path. So therefore Prabhupada wants us to also hear properly, read properly the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. And so in the end he says, and by the constant hearing of the message of Bhagavad Gita and later of Srimad Bhagavatam, one is assured herein by Srila Sukadev Goswami that he will reach the personality of Godhead and render him transcendental loving service in the spiritual plan of the name Goloka Vrindavan, which resembles a huge lotus flower. Thus, by the process of bhakti yoga, directly accepted as suggested in this verse, by sufficient hearing of the transcendental message of the Lord, the material contamination is directly eliminated without one's attempting to contemplate the impersonal Virat conception of the Lord. Okay, we don't have to do all that, he says. And by practicing bhakti yoga, that means the sadhana bhakti that Srila Prabhupada established, if the performer is not purified from the material contamination, he must be a pseudo devotee. Okay? So that means if we don't really want to do properly, then we are just halfway, mixed devotee. Jnana Mishra, Karma Mishra, or we are all more Karma Mishra bhaktis like that. Or Jnana Mishra bhaktis. And then Prabhupada says, then he says he's a pseudo devotee, then he says for such an imposter, there's no remedy for being freed from material entanglement. So that means we really have to give up this enjoying tendency, yeah, and not worry about all the other things. Simply chant nicely, associate nicely, and then Krishna will have mercy on us. All right. So we'll stop here, and then we'll start tomorrow, chapter 3, the Lord in the heart. No, the change of heart. No. Yeah, it's a change of heart. Change in the heart. Yeah.